As I mentioned earlier, I'm down in Washington, D.C., which I have covered one way or another in my many-decade career. My colleague Todd Zwillick has had D.C. as his beat for much of his entire career. What is it, going on about 4 decades now, Todd?
We're getting there.
Well, with the departures of Frontier Funny Man, Wyoming Senator Alan Simpson, someone you knew well, right? Mr. One-Liner himself, the late Speaker Tip O'Neill, who's a legend here, the literary genius, the late Daniel Patrick Moynihan, and the master of overdrama, Speaker Newt Gingrich. There's really no contest for who's the most poetic, comedic, and dramatic voice in Washington right now, right?
And the most maddening, it's Antonin Scalia, most maddening to a lot of people. He is the character of Washington, the most humor from the bench, the most maddening character, and the biggest magnet for people's cheering or their ire.
And he's amazing. I've interviewed him. He says things like, the jurisprudential twilight zone between two errant lines of precedent. Sounds almost like Shakespeare. Well, Justice Scalia is the subject of a new play called The Originalist, currently playing at the Arena Stage in Washington, D.C. Here's a little.
The court has been my theater, and I have the costumes. And yes, I sometimes perform from the bench, shocking the keepers of the liberal flame in this country. Well, let me tell you something. They're easy to shock.
Fictional Justice Scalia, portrayed by actor Edward Gero. Our own Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick got to attend one of the performances on Sunday, right?
Yeah, Sunday night.
And you have a good time?
Oh, it was a phenomenal performance and a real Washington experience.
And everybody knows that Scalia is an opera fanatic, so Shakespeare really works well with this kind of operatic character.
And there are themes of Shakespeare, there are themes of opera. The play opens with a Mozart opera where Scalia says you can find the true meaning of interaction in listening to an opera if you really listen. People don't expect, when you talk about Antonin Scalia, to talk about listening and openness. But this play really tries to upend some of that. Now, you're listening there to longtime Washington actor Ed Gero. He's played a lot of Shakespeare roles in Washington, D.C. Richard, Henry, you go down the list. Locals know him really well. Here he interprets Scalia, and it's not a big stretch because these two men look like brothers. They're from the same part of the world. They have the same Italian DNA, as Ed Gero told me. Listen to part of their performance here where Ed Gero channels Scalia on his jurisprudential attitude.
To interpret the Constitution as it is written and as it was understood when the authors crafted the original document. It's as simple as that. Now, the other side of the argument is obvious and wrong. The Constitution is a living document. It must change with the times. Nonsense. Society changes. Fashion changes. The Constitution stands.
He sounds a little like him.
He does. And the two have met. He did a lot of studies of Scalia's interviews, his speeches. I got a chance to sit down and talk with Ed Gero about the performance, where I asked him how he was drawing the sketch.
So in your role, you're drawing a caricature of Antonin Scalia.
Caricature? No. That's a bad word in my business. No.
Why?
Well, because caricature implies making fun of and making it larger and to lampoon it. It's a pejorative, and I don't want to do that at all. I want to honor who he is and what he does with an equal amount of integrity in terms of my discipline as he would apply to his. And that's a pretty high bar. And it's a hard sword's edge to walk in a politically charged body politic into which I enter every evening.
Got a little trouble there with the caricature line there. But it is true. He is walking into a body politic. The audience from D.C. has various views about Scalia one way or another.
They do. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Justice Ginsburg, has seen this play. Apparently she adored it, Scalia's dear friend. Justice Scalia has not seen it. I'm told he's recused himself from this performance. Ed Gero himself, John, it's fascinating. You know, he says it's not a caricature. He has a great deal of respect for Antonin Scalia, and I think he's on a mission to provide a picture of discourse. Scalia in this play does listen. He listens closely. He's extremely confident. He is always right and never wrong. But Gero says he's not arrogant. No, not arrogant. There is a place for discourse in a town at this point that desperately needs it. Now, I want to play you a scene from the play here. There's only three cast members in this play, and one of the cast members is a young clerk. Her name is Kat. She's played by Carrie Warren. She's a young woman of color. She's a, quote, flaming liberal, in her own words, and she really forms the dialectic. She really goes at it with Scalia here, and it's really most of the play. Listen.
How does it feel?
Sir?
Interviewing for the position of Supreme Court law clerk? There are only 36 of you on Earth at a time, 4 for a justice. Most law school graduates would sell their souls to be in your place.
It feels like a tremendous honor, sir.
Oh, a stock answer. How does it really feel?
Terrifying.
Well, it's not usually fatal. No one's died from clerking. Yet.
Little whiplash in there, maybe a little bit. You know, it's so interesting hearing these words and hearing what you're saying about this play and about how it's really talking about a respect for discourse. Talking with Kenji just a moment ago about this respect for the law, the courtroom as a place of theater and reverence for law and freedom and institutions. These are great ways of bringing this out.
Yeah.
Theater, literature, words.
It really is. There is the theater of the courtroom, which Scalia exalts in and acknowledges. Mm. There is the court of the theater when you're at the arena stage. And for court watchers, this play has a lot because it deals with the hot button issues that you want to hear from the court. Guns, the Heller case. Mm. It deals with Roe. It deals with the Defense of Marriage Act, with quotes from Scalia's own blistering dissent. If you don't remember what it is, go back and give it a read. And that's part of the play too. But discourse and listening is really part of it, which sort of upends the audience's expectations of Scalia. And the reason why I played you that interchange with Kat, I want you to listen to this last part of my interview with Ed Giro, because Kat, you know, she really represents the audience. She's the flaming liberal. Let's face it, this is Washington, D.C. A lot of the theater-going audience, they're not Scalia lovers.
I've done a lot of characters that audiences love to hate in Shakespeare. This is the first time I've done a character that audiences actually hate to love, right? And they come out and say, no, I'm not going to give it to him. He can't be a person. I can't buy that. I need to go home and take a shower. So there's a certain sense of humor about that. But that's really who he is. But I think by the end of the play, and you're right, she is the person who's asking the questions that we all want to ask from our point of view, what we think is right, and rail at the person who apparently has the power to change all of our circumstances, and let's put it all in one basket.
Play is called The Originalist. That's Ed Giro, the actor. The only question is it coming to Broadway? Todd Zwillick, thanks so much.
They're going to try to get it to New York.